welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. This week, Nick and I talk about scotch, and we get excited for the Right Bee Cider release party at Kaiser Tiger. All that and more on this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Rah, rah, rah.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And Halloween is over, and we're into November. It's dark, and we're just drowning our sorrows in beer.
I love that. Well, the space we record in, it's super dark now, and it's usually not during recording time. But you can see the skyline right behind us, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's all lit up. It's nice. Yeah. And every week we are drowning our sorrows in beer. And it's always local beer, too. And this time we have a new one from Forbidden Root, or a new brewery. It's not even a new beer. It's kind of been one of their staples since forever I've been seeing them. It's the Sublime Ginger.
Yeah, so this is a wheat ale. It's brewed with ginger, honey bush, lemon myrtle, black pepper, and key lime juice.
Uh-huh. But their thing is they don't use hops, right?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Right.
Because if you look at the story, I love the label. The label's got a really cool story on the sides, like five paragraphs. And then there's like a lot of words on the front that talk about, you know, what they do, right?
Damn, that's a lot of words.
So many goddamn words. But I think like, you know, because they're... I think their whole thing is, hey, we're gonna focus on botanicals in beer, which is how beer was made before, you know, hops became popular.
Right.
You know, like a lot of group beers just had, you know, it was the wort and just whatever you had, you know, whatever you found, you threw it in there, you know, whether it was shrooms or, you know, some kind of wild plants or whatever you had, you threw it in there.
Yeah, so to add some sort of flavor or bitterness to it, just something else. And this one only comes in at 3.9%. It's a favorite to drink at festivals because, you know, if you need something to kind of change up your palate or just like cleanse it and, you know, bring it back down. You know, this is just a fantastic beer.
Yeah, I know it was released on draft last year. And I think this year, though, might be the first time it's been in bottles, I think, right? They're probably bottling at Fly Rabbit would be my guess.
Right. So it says brewed and bottled at in Bedford Park, which the only brewery you know of in Bedford Park is Fly Rabbit, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's great because all these things that they describe on the bottle, all these ingredients, it's a very subtle interpretation of it. Like you taste these things, but very small amounts of those things, which is nice.
Yeah. And so I don't think it's going to get as silly as maybe Bourbon County Stout episodes because this is a low alcohol beer, but
yeah,
we'll enjoy this. And yeah, let's get into our past week.
Right on.
Nick, I know when you were leaving, you said you were scotch a time. Scotch, scotch, scotch.
Scotch, scotch, scotch. Down it goes. Down into my belly. Yeah, man. I went to the Cutty Sark Prohibition era launch party.
Okay.
So Cutty Sark is a beer that's been around since the 18th. It's a scotch that's been around since the 1800s.
Okay.
You know, you can find it in just about any liquor store in any supermarket, right? But this is the Prohibition era version of the scotch.
Okay. And this is the one with the little ship on the like,
right. It looks like
stopper, I guess.
Exactly. It looks like a little colonial ship. Mm-hmm. You know, like really, really classic scotch ale, right?
Okay.
So they had a launch party for this Prohibition era version. All
right.
So I went to go check it out. Dude, you know, the coolest part about this party, man, is that it was at a space called the Morgan Manufacturing, which is apparently like this events space that sits on 975 West Hubbard. So, you know, right near Grand and Morgan, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, that's where the Metro train runs. So you had to walk under the Metra tracks to get to it. Like you almost had to walk. It's like walking under a viaduct.
Yeah.
Okay. To get into it.
Weird.
Okay. It was super weird. Like, and then you had to tell him old Bill sent you to get into this party.
So it was like a passcode. Oh, it was a Prohibition.
Prohibition theme. Era theme password entry party.
Okay. Right? Did they have people dressed up like flappers and?
Yeah. As soon as you walk in, there's heat lamps. There's a guy with a piano, and then there's a guy who looks like he could be working for Capone. You know, with the big hat and
he works at Longman and Eagle.
Or he works at Longman and Eagle. You know, and then they're making a bunch of cocktails, with this scotch.
Okay.
And then you walk in, and then it's a proper indoor establishment. It was a beautiful space. Like, this space is, like, one of the nicest spaces I've seen in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think I've had many cocktails with scotch, because scotch is such a pronounced flavor. It's very peaty. That's the kind of the theme of it and what it is. And so right. I feel like it would overpower a lot of what you may add to it.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. except for this one. So there were five or so cocktails. What I wanted to do, right, like, it's like, okay, hey, you know, I want to try the scotch, but then I want to try every cocktail they have so I can see, you know, how it changes when you yeah. mix things with it. And you're right. For the most part, it kind of overpowered a lot of things. Like, there was a ginger-based one, and then there was a fruit-based drink.
Okay.
And the scotch kind of overpowered those,
huh.
you know. And then on its own, it's very, very pronounced, you know, lots of heavy peat, right?
Yeah.
But the one drink that it went great with was this beer cocktail. So it used a Revolution Milk Stout.
Okay.
It used a cherry liqueur mm-hmm. and the scotch.
And the scotch.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And that was great.
Was that the only beer cocktail they had?
No. You know, there were two beer cocktails.
Oh,
wow. One was like a wit. Like a what is it? What was Revolution's wit called?
The bottom-up wit?
Yeah. It was a bottom-up wit with like, not basil, but thyme.
Thyme. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. But sounds like it could be pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was cool to see scotch and see people's interpretation of how scotch should blend with in cocktails.
Yeah.
That part was great. The space was amazing. And, they had, like, the band matched the era of all the people there, yeah. you know, throwback Prohibition style.
Was it as good as the gin event? You know which gin event?
Yeah, you're talking about the Hendrix one.
The Hendrix gin event where they did, like, these weird, the strange parties. I forget what.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like they're something about the unusual.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I would say that it ranks somewhere between the two. Like, the one at Salvage One, I think that one was better than the Scotch event.
Okay.
But the last one in Wicker Park,
yeah.
I think the Scotch event was better.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Damn.
So this was a good party.
So this turned you on to going to drink more scotch?
Yeah, I think, like, seeing that it is versatile with beer,
mm-hmm.
it got me excited.
Okay.
You know, because I thought the best cocktail there was, and I'm trying to find the name of it. I should actually have done a better job of taking notes. But, yeah, but it was the one with the Revolution Milk Stout and the cherry liqueur, and they used, like, they hit it with cocoa, like, okay. like fresh cocoa powder.
Neat.
Yeah, that was the best one.
But it's almost hard to hang on to a bottle or have a bottle of, like, a scotch or even a whiskey unless you enjoy that a lot and you're going to drink it, you know, on the rocks or, you know, straight at home. So if you like that, then maybe it's fun to do these cocktails. But otherwise, you're stuck with all these bottles. That's what happens to me. It's like, oh, I'd rather have a beer. I don't want to, like, pour a glass of whiskey and, like, sit there and watch Modern Family. That doesn't.
Right. This would definitely be, like, you'd get a bottle of scotch and it would probably be, like, one of the staples in your bar. It's not the one you would drink the most.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. Oh, the name of my favorite beverage there was the Prize Fighter.
Oh,
so
nice.
It was scotch, cherry liqueur, Revolution Milk Stout, and cranberry bitters.
Cranberry bitters.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Side note, they ran out of Revolution Milk Stout and they substituted with the Dragon's Milk from New Holland.
All right.
Yeah. But
it's similar enough.
Yeah. Close enough, right? Yeah. So that was a good time. Really good party.
Nice. Anything else for the week then?
Yeah, I went to Tippling Hall, which Tippling Hall is a place that used to be the Hop House in River North. So it's right on Franklin, where the train runs above.
Yeah.
So, okay. Like Ohio and Franklin, like a block, like two blocks from Rock and Roll McDonald's. You know,
right? That, not far from that Binny's over there.
Yeah, exactly, well, exactly.
For all our beer listeners that know where Binny's is.
Yeah, and so tipple is an actual word. I did know that. So mm-hmm. that's where Tippling Hall takes its name. To drink alcohol habitually or in small quantities throughout the day.
Okay.
Is to tipple.
To tipple.
Yes.
Just to be boozed up.
Right. Be boozed up all day.
To be boozed.
Or to drink habitually is tippling. Okay. So the guys who founded the place, they're called the Tippling Brothers. So they're sake.
They're alcoholics.
They're alcoholics. Okay. Start there. And then they're really into sake. So they're sake sommeliers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they wanted to, their whole plan was to start a bar that had half the drafts be dedicated to cocktails and the other half dedicated to beer.
Okay.
So you go in there and they got like 10 cocktails on draft.
So when you get a cocktail on draft, are you usually, or is the place making these cocktails themselves, or are they having someone else? Is there like a cocktail brewer? Like,
that's a very good, I wish you were there, man. This is a great question. Yeah, because I know these guys, they showed us the cooler. They were super cool guys. They went in the back, they showed us the cooler, and they were showing us these torpedo kegs that look smaller than like a craft beer sixthel. Right. Okay. And it's got a really odd handle on it, I guess, to, you know, handle the pressure a little bit differently. But they were saying that they worked with this company to on their draft system to support these kegs so they could, you know, daisy chain them if they want, you know, because you got 10 cocktails. And sometimes what you want to do is you got these two kegs and you want to blend those two kegs. Oh. So how do you do that? You know, you have you got to have a line. You know, that's you have to have a tap that's connected to two different kegs in the back to make alternate beverages, you know, so you can turn the 15 kegs into 30 different beverages if possible, you know, if you want.
That's kind of neat if you had a cocktail that was like, oh, this one's using this whiskey, the same one's using this other whiskey, but we just have the base cocktail mix in one keg and we have two different kegs of this whiskey.
Exactly.
This whiskey on tap, I guess.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to get more into that, but I didn't really get into it. I was just kind of blown away by the fact that they have so many cocktails.
Yeah, I know draft. The new Choco in Wicker Park, they have two cocktails, two or three cocktails on draft as well. So I would assume they're mixing them themselves.
Yeah.
And just putting them in these kegs.
Yeah. Because if you go to some places and they've got like, you know, Jaeger on tap or, you know, Jameson on tap, they're literally just, you know, filling a keg with that themselves, you know, in some cases.
Just buying the biggest bottles from Costco they can get.
Right, and they're like filling the smallest keg they can and then just putting it through a draft system.
Okay. Yeah. And it looks cooler.
Right, because you got a keg, you got a tap that says with the Jaeger reindeer on it or whatever that thing is. Yeah. So that part was cool. You know, seeing their commitment to cocktails. So, you know, you get a cocktail faster if it's on tap. You know, because nobody's mixing it. And then you get a consistency there regardless of who's behind the bar.
Is it as good, though? Does it have that love?
They were very potent.
Okay.
But they were very balanced. I will say that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was tasty. I wasn't a big fan of it because I would order something. I ordered like the, they called it the Deep Dish Manhattan. You know, so it was their Manhattan with a Chicago spin on it. I think it was, you know, bourbon and Malort. And and then it went back into just the traditional Manhattan ingredients, you know. Oh, but they brought out in a martini glass. All the beverages that I got, all the cocktails I got, I was expecting them to be like in a rocks glass because you know that's what the description led me to believe
it would be.
Oh, but then they all came out in like these martini glasses with the stem on it. I wasn't the biggest fan of that, but
Manhattans can be in martini glasses.
Yeah, that's true.
It's usually for martinis. It's in the name, right?
Right.
That's why there's red and white wine glasses, because you use one for one and one for the other.
It's a red wine glass, man. You put red wine in it is what you do, man. No. I mean, but aside from the glassware thing, the place was great. They focus on comfort food. So you go there to get, like, you know, your short ribs. You go there to get, you know, chicken pot pies, that kind of thing. They're comfort foods, craft beer, and a cocktail bar.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Did you go to Hop House when that was there?
I did. So this is completely different from Hop House. Okay. Like, it's the same location. Hop House had a lot of booths, a lot of dark lighting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of place. Hop House was the kind of place you go if you were doing, like, unsavory business deals.
It was a good lunch spot. They had, like, some good burgers.
Oh, yeah,
the
burgers.
Like a, it was like a burger and beer spot.
Yes. It kind of reminded you of, like Bad Apple, but just, like, not as refined, I guess. Could you say that?
But they did wild game burgers. Like, they had boar and, I don't remember if they had deer, but, like, stuff like that. Like, more exotic than just, like, beef or chicken burger.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I went to Hop House a couple times. This one's, the floor plan is a lot more spread out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just wide open floor plan, and it's really warm, lots of light, and lots of, like, old world wine, beer, like signage and like, you know, stamps.
Oh, okay.
The big metal stamps, you know. I don't know what those are called, but
I can picture what you're saying. I got
right.
It.
Yeah. It's like a really big license plate, but with like the name of a brewery on it.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
Metal signs.
Yes.
Or something.
There we go. Why do I struggle with these things?
It's the beer. It's a 3.9% beer. So. So the one thing, there was the pumpkin release party at Dry Hop last week for like basically the last pumpkin beer of the season, right? And I didn't make it for the event, but another coworker, he went to the event or went to Dry Hop and picked up a growler of it or a can growler. A can, what do they call it?
Yeah, what do you call it?
Crawler?
What do you
a crawler.
Could call it a crawler.
I think they're calling them crawlers.
Okay.
So these are 32-ounce cans. Mm-hmm. And they individually fill them with whatever beer you want, really. And then you just pay for those. It's a little more expensive than getting like a mini growler because they have that option too. But you don't have to, you're not reusing these can growlers. You just would recycle them. So it's a little easier to deal with than like having all these growlers in your house because that's what ends up happening because you never remember to bring the growler unless you're going for beer.
That's true. Yeah. And like, even because some of the house, I heard some people call the 32-ounce growlers howlers.
Okay.
I still don't know what the origin of the word growler is, but you know, but some howlers look like a really big medicine ball, and then some howlers look like just a smaller version of the growler with the, like a jug with a little handle.
Those are usually ones I see.
Yeah, I do like the canned version of the growler because, like, you can keep it a lot longer. You know, like so if I go to my favorite, you know, brewery out of state or whatever, and bring back a growler, like, I got to open that growler in, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, a week is, like, your max.
Right. And then, like, you get this can, and you can keep that can a lot longer.
Yeah, I think maybe, like, 2 weeks, but you still want to drink it right away. It's not like filling up a regular can, because it's a little different.
Yeah. Okay.
But they do last a bit longer.
All right.
And the beer was fantastic. It was their Starry Night Pumpkin Stout.
Pumpkin Stout.
Yeah, it was nice. This is their second year doing it, and it was fantastic. It's almost like, oh, I wish it was earlier so I could have went there and had it before. It might still be around, so I could go over there again. I haven't visited Dry Hop in a while, but that was a nice beer. Other place I made it to Publican for dinner. That's always nice.
You get to Publican a lot.
I can't.
That's your spot. It's one of your spots.
I know. I went Halloween night.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Hunnemeter, Maeve, and I, we all dressed up.
Yeah.
We dressed up at the Publican. Like, not like suit and tie dressed up. Like, we were in like costume, like Halloween costumes. So it felt a little weird going to the Publican on Halloween dressed up.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Were there other people like in the mood and dressed up as well? Or
a couple, but they're kind of like, no one else was really dressed up. And it was like,
Now, I've been to the Publican before, but just for drinks. I haven't dined there yet. But they got those big wooden booths that kind of remind you of, like, you know,
beer hall style thing.
Yeah.
So you sometimes sit next to other people. It's nice. Food's always fantastic. Beer list was great. I did have a beer from Rolling Meadows Brewery.
Rolling Meadows, like suburban Chicago?
Yeah. And it was their white IPA, I believe. It was not good.
Oh, really?
I ordered a bomber, too. And I had to drink it myself because no one else wanted any.
They were like, bro, you're on your own with this Rolling Meadows bomber.
Yeah, I'd never heard of them. And I haven't seen anything from them before. I don't know anything about them.
It's my first time hearing about Rolling Meadows Brewery.
So if you've had Rolling Meadows or know anything about them, anyone who's listening, let us know what you think of it, or if maybe they have a different beer and maybe this one's just like their first test of it. But
yeah.
So, but that was basically my week. Some bunch of other Halloween events went to. And yeah, drinking canned growler beers. I might have to pick up some more canned growler.
The canned growler is such a cool concept.
Yeah.
It's on that short list of concepts where I really wish I would have thought of producing a canned growler.
You know what it's perfect for is if you need to travel with beer. Traveling with beer, like on a flight or something, is always like dangerous because you have these bombers and stuff like that. Canned growler.
So true.
And then you bring something unique to somebody that, you know, would never make it to Dry Hop because it's just a little brew pub in Chicago, and like, oh, here's this awesome can growler.
Right.
Go for it.
So true.
But should we get into this coming week and what's happening as, what, first weekend in November here, basically?
Yeah, let's get into it, man. So we can start with Wednesday, November 5th at 5:30 at the Whole Foods on North Avenue. Revolution Penguin Hops Party, man. So
Penguin Hops.
Penguin Hops is back.
Okay.
So it's a so this is the third year of Penguin Hops. Penguin Hops is a beer that they collaborate with Shedd Aquarium with.
Okay,
percentage of the proceeds go to the Shedd.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so this is 5:30 to 7:30. And, you know, that Whole Foods, they have a bar at that Whole Foods, like the 1550 bar, they're calling it. Because it's at 1550 Kingsbury. And then they've got like 15 beers on draft.
Right.
Which is cool. Yeah, so there's going to be a DJ. You can taste the beer. And then there's 6 Revolution beers, including Fistmas.
Fistmas is already here.
Fistmas is here.
Oh, we're just talking about pumpkin beers, and now we're already talking about Christmas beers.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I like pumpkin beers. Some winter warmers.
Yeah, I like a good winter warmer. I think I like the harvest ales and the Christmas beers, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, harvest beers are here, and I haven't even dove into that yet.
Yeah.
But then also, same day at Longwind and Eagle, is a off-color release party, right?
Yeah. So Longwind and Eagle got together with Off Color, and they've got a beer de garde that they make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is... the Beard de Guard Dog is the name of the beer.
Guard Dog. Okay.
So they're calling it an Oktoberfest meets a Saison. So they've got a French Saison yeast. They've got some French hops, and they're calling it the smaller brother to their Apex Predator.
Okay.
Yeah. So this beer is going on November 5th, 6:00 at Longwind and Eagle. So yeah, it's a launch party for Off Color's latest beer.
Nice. Yeah. So go there. Drink that beer, grab some food. Yeah, always a good time at Longwind Eagle. The next day, on November 6th, Lakefront 2nd Anniversary.
Yeah, that was quick, man. Lakefront Brewing up in Lake Effect.
Lake
Effect Brewing up in Jefferson Park, Chicago, on the northwest side of town. So they're going to do this event at Fishman's. So this is on November 6th. They're going to have 7 of their beers there, and they're going to introduce their they've got a barrel program.
Okay.
So they bought the space next door, and they've got a ton of barrels in there. So they're going to debut some of those beers at FOBAB, and then they're going to like give you a sneak peek of these beers here. Champagne of the Lakes, which is a Berliner Weiss. Super Beer, the beer they did with Super Dog up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then a couple other beers that they've got in barrels. So.
All right, well, I guess I'm interested to see what they do with their barrel program.
And yeah.
That seems early for them to be getting into it. I know, everyone loves barrel-aged beers, but it's always hard to get barrels now because there's so many breweries. So it's surprising that they're even attempting to go down that path.
Yeah, it's true. And it looks like a couple of these are like wine barrels.
Okay.
So they're looking at probably because...
you can't get whiskey and bourbon
barrels. It's probably tough to get whiskey and bourbon barrels, yeah.
Yep.
Because whiskey and bourbon's got to sit in there. It's got to do its thing in there for...
years.
Yeah. And then, everyone has a barrel program now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Goose Island basically buys, all the barrels.
Governor of Kentucky?
Yeah, we'll take them all.
We're going to go ahead and order all the barrels right now. Thanks.
Anything else happening on the 6th?
On the 6th, there's also a free Oscar Blues tasting at Pizza Rustica on North Sheridan. So Pizza Rustica is a northern Italian eatery, and they've got a full cocktail and bar list. And they're offering you a free Oscar Blues tasting. So you go in, you try the Oscar Blues beer, and if you'd like to purchase something that you liked, you can do that as well. That's November 6th from 6 to 8.
Cool. Didn't you recently go over there for an event?
Yeah, I was there for their it was a Chicago Craft Beer Week event, and it was a the ginger beer event.
Right.
That's when I learned all about Krabby's, the original ginger beer.
Okay.
Which was that was actually a really good party. Their food is fantastic. Yeah, and then they were really nice, so they came out and they said, hey, we have some pretty intense cocktails. You should try them.
Okay.
And they were just super
friendly. On draft or no?
No, not on draft. These are handmade.
Okay.
Right?
Handmade
with love. And then it's one of those spots that I really dig because, the husband is the head chef, and then the wife is the front of the house, so you kind of get that feeling that you're coming into their home. That's how they make you feel.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, so a lot of love in that place. That's a really good spot, actually. It's almost kind of a hidden gem over there because, that's walking distance from Wrigley.
Okay.
So it's not on the strip, or
on Clark.
It's not on Clark, but it's
one block east, right?
Yeah, it's a couple blocks east of there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, everyone else is going to Bocce there, getting their
right.
giant slice and soda.
Yeah. you can slip over and go to Pizza Rustica. It's basically on Irving Park and Sheridan.
Okay. So then Friday, November 6th, we've got a couple of neat events. One's a Three Floyds Invasion. I like Invasion better than Tap Takeover or, I don't know, whatever else they end up using. I like Invasion. Invasion seems appropriate no matter what happens. It could be two beers, more than one, and whatever. But this is going to be 11 beers at Tumens. So 11 of their 28 tap handles get devoted to Three Floyds beer. And it'll be seasonals, year-round beers, and each one will be $6. So I bet, like, the pour size varies, like, if they're doing Dark Lord. I'm not saying they're doing Dark Lord, but...
Don't get people excited.
I just threw it out there as the first Three Floyds beer that popped in my head, but maybe that's, like, 8 ounces, and then Pride and Joy. Oh, that's not even made anymore, right? Or maybe it's a Gumball Head.
There we go.
A 12-ounce. But they'll all be $6. And this kicks off at 4 p.m. at Tumens. And Tumens is on Chicago, right?
Yeah, maybe near Chicago and Damon, something like that.
Yeah, Chicago, between Levitt. Damon and Western. Yeah.
I like Tumens a lot. They got a great burger at Tumens. Okay. It's like brisket and short rib. Nice. They got those big, awesome booths you can sit in.
I think they have Ski Ball in the back, too.
I like Ski Ball.
Okay.
That's a cool place.
Yeah, it's a nice spot.
Yeah.
And then also Friday, out in the suburbs in Evanston at World of Beer, is a GABF metal tapping.
Okay.
So many of us, unlike Nick, did not make it to GABF. So if you didn't make it, you can go to World of Beer and try some of these award-winning beers. Like they'll have Victory's Golden Monkey, Firestone Walker's Pivo Pils, Half Acre's Heyoka, Founder's Porter, Temperance Gatecrasher, and the list goes on.
The Pivo from Firestone is really nice.
Yeah, that's a solid. That's like just a safe beer. It's one of those beers where it's like, I don't know what I want. It's like, I'll take a Pivo.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't know what I want. I'll take an Allagash White. One of those. But yeah, Heyoka, I haven't really seen it on tap around time. I've been seeing cans, you know. I always pick up cans when I can, but I haven't seen it on tap at too many places.
No. At the arcade, I always see it there, but that's the only place I've seen it.
All right. So if you're in the suburbs or not and just looking for something to do on Saturday, head out to World of Beer and try some of these winning beers.
Now, there's a World of Beer in World of Beer.
That's on Friday. Sorry, not Saturday.
World of Beer. There's one in Naperville. There's one in Evanston.
Yeah, this is the Evanston one.
Okay, cool.
So I feel like they should have, like, teamed up and been like, because there's multiple locations, they should just do a World of Beer metal tasting. Like, come in, no matter any World of Beer, we're going to have different ones and make people like, oh, some people will go to Evanston and Naperville.
Yeah, actually, you're right on. There's a, because there's Timothy O'Toole's, right? There's a Timothy O'Toole's in Gurnee, Illinois, by Great America. And then there's one, you know, by Navy Pier, Streeterville. Yeah. And when they do events, like they do a Stone event, and the Stone event starts at the one and goes to the other. But if you don't make it to either one, they still have all the Stone beers on at both locations. It was like a joint event. Yeah.
See, come on. World of Beer, learn something from these other places.
Come on.
Get on it.
Jeez.
And then Saturday, November 8th, is a Right B Cider release party.
Oh, man. Is this the one at Kaiser Tiger?
Yeah, this is at Kaiser Tiger. And it's going to be, we've talked to Right B. This is, I forgot his name.
No, it's Good Time Charlie.
Good Time Charlie.
Good Time Charlie.
Who brews at Vice City.
Yeah, he's...
Vice District. I keep calling it...
You're thinking of the video game, Vice City.
I always think of the video game.
Yeah, Good Time Charlie is Vice District. Is the head brewer at Vice District. And he used to be the one of the brewers at Finch. So he left town to go to Ohio to do like some other brewery thing, but now he's back.
Yeah.
And this is a joint venture with him and his wife.
Right.
Right B Cider. So they're making their debut, man. That's going to be cool at Kaiser Tiger.
Yeah, and so the party is from 8 to 11. I think there'll be raffle tickets for T-shirts and pints of Right B Cider and just lots of other goodies. You'll also be able to snag some coasters, I don't know, and some other neat stuff. And yeah, I think they have two ciders right now. They have like basically a dry and a sweet cider. At least that's what they had at... Hoptacular.
You're talking about Festival.
Festival. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm getting all my
snap people, out of it, Brad.
And events confused.
Snap out of it, man.
Too much ginger.
Yeah. I'm excited for those guys. Yeah. Charlie's as cool as they come, man. Yeah. So he's a busy guy, man. He's doing the cider project with his wife.
Uh-huh.
And then he's head brewing at Vice District.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. Got to keep it rolling, man.
Mm-hmm. And more cider is always nice to...
Yeah.
Be in the market.
We don't have, I mean, like, how many ciders are produced in Chicago?
You know? Well, there's not too, yeah, is there none?
Right, like, this might be the only one. Right.
But they're getting their apples not from Michigan or Wisconsin. I think they're getting maybe from Vermont or New Hampshire, somewhere else, so.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of seeing, you know, cideries and meaderies, because it's just another gateway to get into craft beer for, you know, for you ever meet, you know, that dude or that chick who's like, I don't really drink beer. I drink mixed drinks or I drink wine. Mm-hmm. This is just another avenue for them to get into, you know, the good stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, Vandermill and Virtue ciders are great. I was even talking to Bob recently and they said they may have some limited edition cans coming out with some special stuff that they're doing at Vandermill.
I like Vandermill a lot. I was at Demo's Pizza in Wicker Park, and I was there for lunch. Actually, I got I won like it's a slice from Beer Hoptacular.
Oh, cool!
And a little bag. I want a slice of pizza, so I went over there to check it out. They had a cooler, 31 cans in the cooler.
Wow.
Yeah, 15 of them
were ciders. No.
Yeah, oh. Vandermill ciders.
15.
Yeah. The other 16, PBR.
Oh, I thought you were saying Virtue Cider.
No, that's all they had. They had 31 cans. Half of them were PBR. The other half were the tall boys of Vandermill Cider, man.
All right, so you grabbed a Vandermill then, probably?
Yeah, okay. I grabbed a Vandermill. Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's all I have on the calendar. You got anything else?
No, man. I think that's it, man. Phobab's on the horizon.
Phobab's coming up, so hopefully we make it there. Hopefully we see a lot of other people there. And yeah, it's always a great time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll talk about that a little bit in the coming up episodes.
Probably next week because it's the week after or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming up really soon.
But before we get out of here, Nick, how can people find you or get in touch?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And then I'm on Twitter, it's at Brad. And we collectively, the show is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. And we're on Facebook, /Chicago Beer Pass. We try to share other events we find on there. These events we mentioned on the show, so you have links, you can buy tickets, RSVP, whatever you need to do, or just share it with somebody else you might want to go to the event. And then our website, chicagobeerpass.com, episodes get posted there, links to iTunes, leave a review, you know, tell other people about the show. We need more listeners. We need more people drinking great beer and going to these events, selling them all out, so there's more events for us to talk about.
True.
And that'll do it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.